KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Right at the height of the holiday shopping season, a maritime clerks union has shut down the nation's busiest port complex in L.A. and Long Beach. Truth be told, retail shippers hold their Christmas rush in the summer and fall, but Southern California is a massive trade throughput for the U.S. Some 10,000 dock workers are refusing to cross the picket lines, and officials from the L.A. mayor's office on up to Senators Feinstein and Boxer are urging both sides in the two-year-old contract dispute to return to the bargaining table. The IKEA in Burbank is pretty darn big as it is, but the Swedish retail giant proposes an even bigger Burbank store, something on the order of 22 acres. It would be the biggest IKEA in the country. Burbank officials reviewing the project sound bullish on the prospect of more sales tax revenues. The San Joaquin River, California's second longest, used to teem with Chinook, traveling from the San Francisco Bay to Fresno or thereabouts to spawn. That was before the Fryant Dam blocked their way about 60 years ago. Now biologists are reintroducing the salmon, as Alice Daniel reports from our Central Valley Bureau.
The salmon release begins with the sound of a fish biologist wading in the water, then cameras clicking. But the few marble-colored salmon being gingerly released from a net today are still and quiet as they get used to their new spawning grounds. About 93 have been released so far, and scientists will track their movements with acoustic transmitters.
As much information as we can collect from these fish that we're using today, that will tell us more about what we can expect to achieve in the future.
Gerald Hattler is with the California Department of Fish and Game. He says it will take years before salmon catch on here. The river's restoration comes after nearly two decades of legal battles between environmentalists and farmers. A dam diverted much of the water to the ag industry in the 1940s, drying up miles of riverbed, once home to the state's second largest salmon population. For the California Report, I'm Alice Daniel in Fresno.
There's a baby boom going on in the lesbian and gay community, a gaby boom, as some like to call it. But a number of LGBT couples who have trouble conceiving find they don't enjoy the same access to fertility services heterosexual couples do. A new law kicking in next year could help change that, as the California Report's health reporter Mina Kim tells us.
Maya Scott Chung knew she wanted to be a mom when she was 7 years old and got to see a home birth. Then in high school, she fell in love with a woman.
Then when I began to realize when I was a teenager that I thought I might be gay, I thought that I couldn't be a parent. So it was a real conflict in my heart.
Then Maya saw the movie Choosing Children that showed her lesbians could be parents.
And that it's also possible to build families in an intentional way. You know, it wasn't exactly like just replicating the nuclear family. It was really more creating an extended family.
And that's exactly what Maya did about 20 years later with her transgender partner, Maybeck Scott-Chung.
Okay, so one multiplication fact can be found by using the array. Do you know what an array is, Maya?
Today, Maya and Maybeck are the proud parents of 8-year-old Luna Lee Yulian Gillingham Scott-Chung.
Look, see how there are nine rows of four?
Yeah.
See, four times nine, that's an array.
Luna's name reflects the Irish, Scottish, Chinese, and Hispanic heritage of Maya and Maybeck, and also their friend Daniel Bao, who donated his sperm to help conceive Luna.
He would just basically bring the sperm sample to our house, and then Maybeck inseminated me with a syringe at home.
Sitting on a couch in their Oakland home, Maybeck remembers the day Luna was born.
I had her in my hands and she was on her back and she opened up her eyes and looked right into my eyes. It was just, wow.
Maya and Maybeck always knew they wanted more than one child. 3 years ago, they began trying again with Daniel's sperm. He'd become like family. But they had trouble conceiving. Maya was 42 years old then. They thought a doctor could help inseminate Maya with Daniel's sperm, a process known as intrauterine insemination.
And that's when we started to really encounter barriers.
Doctors told Maya and Maybeck that they could not inseminate Maya with Daniel's unfrozen sperm because federal law requires Maya and Daniel to be, quote, sexually intimate partners. Daniel's sperm would need to be treated like it was from a sperm bank and go through extensive testing, be frozen, and then quarantined for 6 months.
And that process would cost $4,000 or $5,000. We would also have to wait 6 months until we were able to use the sperm. And also, I was 42, so waiting 6 months was actually a big deal.
Come January, a new law takes effect that expands California's interpretation of sexually intimate partner to include known sperm donors. San Francisco Bay Area Assemblymember Nancy Skinner authored the legislation known as AB 2356. Skinner says the law also helps single women, lower-income women, or heterosexual couples who need help conceiving and want to use the sperm of someone they know.
There were some colleagues who were afraid, oh, I'm voting on a gay rights issue. Well, this affects everyone. And yes, it's very, very much beneficial to the LGBT community, but affects everyone.
Other than a handful of lawmakers and the California Right to Life Committee, which called the measure bad public policy that could harm women, Skinner's bill had little organized opposition. Skinner suspects that's because it makes a relatively small change to existing law.
When I look at a lot of my legislative success, much of it has been little teeny changes, which for the people affected make just worlds of difference.
Emma from my art class has this.
For Maya and Maybeck Scott Chung, the passage of AB 2356 comes too late.
It doesn't help us because I'm 46 now, and it's extremely, extremely unlikely that we would be successful in having children right now. So we're not going to be utilizing this option for our own family building at this point.
But that didn't stop the Scott Chungs from helping to get the bill passed, telling their story to legislators and writing letters of support.
We know several dozen people who literally are waiting for that moment to be able to walk in the door and access care.
But even more than that, Maya says, the law legitimizes a way the LGBT community builds families.
I think that the fact that this bill went through with as much support and as little opposition says something about the shifting perception of who is a family. And I think certainly we're ready for it because we've been here all along.
A celebration of the passage of AB 2356 takes place tonight in Oakland. For the California Report, I'm Mina Kim.
That's the California Report for Thursday, November 29th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. Chevron, committed to helping California grow by supporting small businesses and investing in education. More information available at chevron.com. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as balancing network traffic for improved performance. Barracuda.com.